the Gospel of John. Chapter number one. I believe we left here last week. The Gospel of John, chapter number one. We're talking about easy believism. We're talking about repentance, changing your mind. We're talking about repent, what the Bible talks about repent, believing, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and how easy it is to be saved, how easy it is to believe. It is not difficult. It's easy to be saved. Churches make it difficult on purpose. Religion makes it difficult on purpose. God makes it easy to be saved. There's a nursery upstairs, and there's a Sunday school class with the kids' ages. You can take them in there if you wish, if they cannot be quiet. If they can't be quiet, then walk around outside with them in the rain. I love you too. John chapter number 1, verse number 12. John chapter number 1, verse number 12. Aren't you glad you're saved? It'll be 60 degrees by the time we leave here. Don't worry. John chapter 1, verse number 12. I believe this is where we left off last adult Bible study. John chapter number 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Dear God, again, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the adult Bible study this morning. Thank you, Lord, that it's easy to believe in you. Thank you, Lord, that you made it so easy that any boy or girl, 4, 5, 6 years old, with any intellect at all, any cognitive abilities at all, can trust you, can believe in you, can believe thy word. Help us as adults to become like children, as Jesus said, dear God, and help us, Lord, to humble ourselves as children, to believe and trust thy word as a little child would. Please bless now, meet with us, teach us these scriptures, these truths, in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter number 1, as we said in verse number 12, as many as received him, you received Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not against the word accept, A-C-C-E-P-T. That's almost like receiving, but it's not receiving. I know we say, you see it a lot on tracks, you see it a lot on church websites, you see a lot of people say accept Christ. I don't think you'll find anywhere in the Bible that says you ought to accept Christ. The Bible says you ought to receive Christ. There's a little difference. Legally, there's a difference. Accept means like you have to do it. No, received is you choose to receive him. So it's like a gift. Now, I understand you accept the gift or you accept the job offer, but you receive a gift. When someone offers you something, you receive it. Eternal salvation is a gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says. It's a gift. So what you do is you receive eternal life. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's what he says here. But as many as received him, you don't stop things. You don't stop sins to receive him. You don't stop, change your life to receive him. No, you, as we've gone through the last 3-4 weeks, you receive the Lord Jesus. You receive the Word of God. Okay? That's what you do. You receive it. And you take it. And so he says, but as many as received him, to them, God gives you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now again, when you get saved, you're a child of God. As you grow in Christ, as you grow in grace, God gives you the ability and God gives you the strength, spiritual ability, and the grace to become sons of God. You're not a son of God when you get saved. You're a child of God when you get saved. And like other scriptures, you grow up to become sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. Too many times people are just immature, or they have not grown up. They're babes in Christ. They've not grown. But God gives you the ability to become sons of God when you get saved, when you receive him. So you can't sit there and say, well, I didn't know. Well, if you have a Bible, you can know. Amen. If you receive Jesus Christ, you can know all things are given unto you. All power is given unto you. All these things are available to us. So people make excuses why they can't, but if you're a child of God, you've already overcome the world by faith, the Bible says. And so there's no excuse, as we said about three or four weeks ago. So you're born not of blood, verse number 13, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So a child of God who's born again has a spirit of God in him, has the power of God available to him or her, and then you have the ability to overcome. Not that you already have overcome, and you have overcome the world by faith, but you have the ability and the power to overcome all obstacles in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? That's the question. Look at chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 and verse number, verse number 19. Jesus answered and said to them, because they were saying how beautiful, or the signs and other gospels saying how beautiful these buildings are. Verse number 19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So now, obviously, these people thinking on a physical realm, earthly realm, physical, they're thinking about this building, the temple. And their answer was, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So, if you kill him in 3 days, he'll raise up. Amen. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the what? The scripture. And the word which Jesus had said. Amen. The battle in your life is believing this book. Let me tell you something. You don't have to believe me to be blessed of God. You have to believe this book in order to be blessed of God. Now, hopefully, the preacher's not going to lie to you, amen? Like my religious leader lied to me. We'll get to that in the morning sermon, amen? You know, religious leaders lie. Ministers lie. Pastors lie. I'm just telling you, they lie. Politicians, do you think they lie? You think politicians lie? No. They only lie when their lips are moving. That's the only time they lie. But if you say, well, I don't think a religious leader would lie to me. Oh, okay. You must be 5 or 10 years old. You haven't been around yet. But here it says here, the Bible says they believe the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. My job is to open up the word of God and show you what God says in the word of God. That's why you ought to have a Bible when you come to church. And if there isn't a Bible with you, there ought to be a Bible in a lap, in the pew somewhere, or somebody else ought to share a Bible with you. Because it's my job to show you what God said. It's not what John Cletus thinks. You know what? It doesn't matter what John Cletus thinks if it's contrary to the Word of God. My sole job, my sole purpose in being the pastor is to remind you what God said. I can only comfort you from the Word of God. So I can tell you about heaven, it's from the Word of God. I can tell you about Jesus, it's from the Word of God. I can tell you about eternity, it's in the Word of God. I can tell you about church and life and how to live right, but it's only from the Word of God. My opinions don't matter if it's not in the Word of God. It matters what God says. So my job is to show you what Scripture says so that you can believe it. Verse 22, they believe the Scripture and the Word which Jesus has said after he was risen from the dead. And that's what we're supposed to do. Verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many what? Believed in his name. That's what it says. When they saw the miracles which he did. We're going to get to that subject, principle, in the morning sermon. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify, man, for he knew what was in man. You know, Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking this morning. Amen. He knows who you are. You don't even know who you are. God made you. God created you. He knows what your past experience. Look, Jesus knows what you went through when you were 1 or 2 years old. You didn't remember. Amen. God knows what made up your character at times that you don't remember. God made you. He knows everything that you've been through. So God knows what's best for you and for me more than we know ourselves. So the word of God, the God that created us, tells us about ourselves in the Word of God. Our job is to believe what God said in the Word of God. John chapter number 3, please. And again, I'm going to mention this verse in the morning sermon. Verse number 12. This is interesting because it's right after he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again twice. And right before the famous John 3:16 verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So here's what he says right in between those two verses in verse number 12. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Wow. Wow. And I preached a sermon on that about a year or two ago. If you don't believe, listen good. If you don't believe that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, you got a problem. A square plug goes into a square hole. A round plug goes into a round hole. For instance, when I was in I must have been junior high, and during gym class, I don't know if they have it now in gym classes now, it might be too dangerous, but we had this board up on the wall in gym class, in the gym. It was about, I'm guessing, maybe 4x4, and they had, what do you call those? Dowels. Different shaped dowels. And what you do is you hang on it, and with the strength of your right arm or your left arm, you hang on, and you put the dowel into the, if it was a round dowel or a square dowel, you put it into the other round or square dowel opening. You couldn't fit it in the wrong opening. But you believe that the homosexual perverts are normal. There's something wrong with your thinking. They're perverted. You've been taught perversion by perverts in a public government school. That's perversion. That's unnatural. Just look at the biological, physical makeup of a man and a woman. They were created for each other. Not man for man, not woman for woman. You have to be taught contrary to what God says in the Word of God. And so Jesus says in verse number 12, he says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If you can't even believe that a round peg goes into a round hole, a square dowel goes into a square hole, what else in the world can I possibly tell you from a spiritual standpoint that you're going to believe me? It's like, you know, I remember some theologians on the radio years ago, 35, 40 years ago, great story, and I've used it once in a while. A little boy thought he was dead. I don't know, 8, 10, 12 years old, story goes. He thought he was dead. And his parents tried to convince him, you're not dead. He says, I'm dead. And the parents couldn't convince Johnny, so they took him to the doctor. And the doctor was talking to Johnny. He says, Johnny, you're not dead. He says, I'm dead. So the doctor's looking at Johnny. He turns around in his swivel little chair there, opens up the desk, and gets out a little pin, you know. Swivels right back around John, takes his thumb, pushes the thumb like this, and then he pricks the thumb with a needle. Then he pushes it out, and blood comes out. He says, well, Johnny, he said, do dead people bleed? And Johnny said, no, dead people don't bleed. So when he pushed the pin in his thumb and blood came out, Johnny said, wow, dead people do bleed. Sometimes it doesn't matter how much evidence or how much facts somebody's produced, is given, their perverted thinking is unnatural. So there's nothing I can tell you. If you don't believe that pervert homosexuality is an abomination before God, I don't know what else I can tell you about being saved, because this is a spiritual thing. I don't know what else I can tell you about Jesus, the Son of God, who came from heaven, died on the cross, and 3 days rose again to give us eternal life. How can I explain that to you when you can't even tell me that the sky is blue? Well, I don't think it is blue. Okay. And so today you're living in a generation that has been taught that we live in the worst country in the world. Well, if it's the worst country in the world, why don't you go where you think it's the best country in the world? If you believe in socialism, you ought to go to Venezuela. If you believe in socialism, you ought to move to Greece. If you believe in communism, move to Russia. or communist China. Go to communist Cuba if you think it's better. But you have been taught perverted things. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, what is it that you believe today? Do you believe eternity? Do you believe there's a place called heaven? Do you believe there's a place called hell? Huh? Do you believe there's a Lord Jesus Christ who's God Almighty who created you? Colossians 1 says that Jesus Christ created you. It doesn't matter if 90% of the people believe something, it could still be a lie, ladies and gentlemen. John chapter number 3, verse number 15. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just believing. Not going to church. I quoted verse number 16 before. Look at verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. The only difference in that verse is people who believe or people who do not believe. It doesn't say people who go to church and people who don't go to church. It doesn't say people who are living right and people who are not living right. It doesn't say people who are good and people who are bad. No, somebody's messed up your thinking. It's people who have believed and people who have not believed. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Look, I heard about Jesus for 21 years, but I hadn't believed in him. I've told the story before. We were in music class. I still remember this. And, you know, we didn't live in a good neighborhood, so we were bused to an all-white Jewish neighborhood. And I remember the Jewish kids making fun of us because we believed in Santa Claus. And we did believe in Santa Claus, man. And I remember the Jewish kids, they were making fun and laughing. He said, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And yes, there is. We're ready to fight for Santa Claus, man. 8 years old, 10 years old, believing a lie. I heard about Jesus. I went lit my candles at church, and I did what the priest told me to do. I heard that he was the Son of God. I heard that he died on the cross. I heard that he was buried. I heard that he rose 3 days later. I heard all that, but I never believed in him. You can hear about something without believing it. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? I'm not asking you, have you ever heard of Jesus? I'm not asking if you ever heard the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, have you believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God to save your soul from hell? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember that you prayed and asked God to save you? I can take you to a place where I got saved. November 1978, when I got on my knees next to my bed and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul. Verse number 36, John 3, verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath, that's present tense, everlasting life. Are you believing what God said? Right now, if you believed, you're saved. You have everlasting life. How long is everlasting life? How long does it last? I think everlasting life is sort of everlasting, don't you think? Don't you think everlasting lasts even past you sin, when you sin? Everlasting life means forever, like, you know? Like, woke, you know, huh? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not. The only difference in these verses is someone who believes and someone who does not believe. I'm not asking if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking if you got baptized. It doesn't say anything about that. It says whether you believe. So, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Present tense, right now. That's why people say, do you ever talk to somebody, try to witness to them, and say, well, I'm living in hell right now? They're closer to truth than you think that they are. Because the wrath of God is on them right now. Now, we know that they're not in hell because there's no fire. When somebody says that to me, because, you know, they're ignorant of the scripture, I say, well, I don't see any fire right now. You see any fire? Bible says there's nothing but fire in hell. It's not darkness. I can see you. You can see me. The Bible says it's so dark in hell you can feel the darkness. But they're a lot closer to hell than you think that they might when they say that. The wrath of God abideth on him right now. on those that believe not. Not after they die. You don't have everlasting life after you die. You get it now while you're alive. I have everlasting life right now. Not when I die. I already have it when I got Jesus. Amen. When I received the Lord Jesus, my Savior, I received the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and I have now eternal life, everlasting life, so that when I die, it's just, for the believer, it's just graduation. You step out of this earth, you step out of this life, right into eternal life. Amen. You just, that's why we say we pass away. You pass from this earth to eternity, to heaven. Amen. But if you're lost, a child of hell, a child of the devil, you go to a second death. The Bible says is a lake of fire that even hell itself will be cast into. So you either have everlasting life now, or you have the wrath of God on you now. One of the two. And the only difference is if you believe or not believe. Not what church you go to. Not if you're a church member. Not if you've been baptized. Do you believe Jesus or do you believe a religious leader, ladies and gentlemen? I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I'm just telling you what God said. The religious leaders try to extract money out of people to force them, to make them think that you're not really saved because you don't give enough in the offering basket to pay my salary. You don't give enough in the offering basket so you can pay for my parsonage. You don't put enough in the offering basket to pay for my vacations. You don't put enough in the offering basket to pay for my bennies. And so a religious leader, a minister, listen to me good, Baptist and otherwise, will say, well, you're not really saved. Where's that in the Bible? Show me one verse in the Bible where it says you're not really saved. You won't find it. Now, there are people, there are fake disciples. We've gone through that, and people are sincere. Some people are not sincere. I don't know who's sincere or not. I really don't. I'm just saying my job is to preach the gospel, and it's up to everybody else whether they reject it or receive it. It's your job to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 4. The woman at the well. Verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. And he goes on, but you know, we keep going after that, but the truth of the matter is all you have to do is believe Jesus. He said, woman, you know what? She believed. She got saved. This is a woman who had five husbands, and the one that she was living with, committing adultery, is not her husband. But she got saved. She believed Jesus. And she was able to lead other people to Jesus. Amen. You know why? Not because she was good. We know that. But because she believed. You can believe this morning. It's easy to believe. God makes it easy for people to believe. God doesn't make it difficult for people to believe. You're just believing the wrong crowd. You're believing the accuser, the tempter. You're believing the liar in chief. Not the president, the governor. John chapter number 4, verse number 39. And by the way, this president's a liar just like Barack Obama was a liar, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, just be honest. Most of these politicians are a bunch of liars. John chapter number 4 and verse number 38. Verse number 39. The Bible says, is after the woman gets saved at the well, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believe because of his own word. Amen. Look at the next verse, a couple verses. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, God used this woman of the world to bring all these men out of the city, the Bible says. And they believed on Jesus. They heard his word. And she was used of God for these people to believe on Jesus. Just like God will use you for others to believe. God used other people for me to believe. And God will use you if you allow him to. Said, Pastor, I you don't understand. I'm not, I'm a sinner, dear. I'm a sinner, God. Pastor, I'm a sinner. I can't be used of. You can be used of God. If this woman, five husbands, and the one she's living with right now is not her husband, if she can be used of God, you can be used of God. Now, Jesus did say, go out and sin no more. I'm just saying, though, you can be used of God. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you've done in the past. You can be used of God. Amen. If you believe him. Amen. If you believe Jesus. If you have breath, you have an opportunity to be used of God. If you're breathing, you have an opportunity to be used of God. And God wants to use you. You make the choice to whether believe him or not believe him. Verse 46, Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. He's talking to the Jews now. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Ere, E-R-E, that's an old English word meaning before, ere my child die. Verse number 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man what? Believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself what? Believed, and his whole house. You know what's wrong with you? You know what's wrong with me? Our belief system. You're believing the wrong thing. Why don't you believe in God? God is not a man that he should lie, the Bible says. God is a righteous God. He's a true judge. He deals with justice and mercy together. What you need to do, what I need to do, is believe what God says in the Word of God. Not what man says, but what God says. And he says, if you believe, you'll have it. Ask believing. You'll receive, he said. You know what we do? We have doubts. We don't believe. That's why the man told Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Check number 5, verse 24. This is not complicated. It's easy to believe. I'm telling you. Do you know it's easy to get your life back on track? It's easy. Now, you may not be able to change everything you've done in the past. I'll be honest with you. The past is gone. You can't do much about that. You can try to mitigate it. You can try to, you know, whatever you want to say about it and do about it, make up for it. And I think you ought to. If you stole from somebody, you ought to pay them back. But there's nothing you can do about the past. Going forward, you have to believe what God says. John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, can you hear the word of God this morning? Amen. All right, we got that down. And believeth on him that sent me. Well, that's the second part of it. Hath, present tense. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Yeah. You're not passing from death unto life because you got baptized in a baptistry. You're not passing from death unto life because you walked inside a Baptist church. You're passing from death unto life, eternal life, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not because you spoke in some gibberish tongue. Not because you saw a dream or a vision. Not because you heard audible voices. Stop taking those medications. Stop smoking your weed. Stop eating pepperoni on the pizza before you go to bed and having those weird dreams. And believe what God says in the Bible. Verse 36. John 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. He's talking about John the Baptist in verse number 32 to verse number 35. He's talking about John the Baptist. But I have a greater witness than John, than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Well, when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you reject the word of God. And when you reject the word of God, you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the word of God. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you received the word of God, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, the Bible says? It's only believe. These verses we're talking about is dealing with only believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, only believing his word when it comes to salvation, eternal life, everlasting life, or death and hell for all eternity, ladies and gentlemen. John chapter number 5, verse number 44. We'll look at verse number 42. I'm skipping a whole bunch here, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. That's what Jesus said. Hey, Jesus knows you. Do you love God? He knows whether you do or not. He knows whether you're playing games or not. He knows how much you love him. He knows. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Verse 43. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Hi, my name is John. Nice to meet you. You shake your hand with me, and you receive. You believe what I'm telling you. My name is John. My name is John Kalidas. Good to meet you. You shake hands. Jesus comes, and you reject him. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. He says, verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. He's talking to the Jews. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You know, those Jews, when Jesus confronted those Jews, they went to the temple, they went to the synagogue, they went to the, you know, they did their ritual there. They had the Old Testament from Genesis all the way to Malachi. And they were saying, we believe, and they went through all the motions and rejected Jesus Christ. It's almost like Baptists that come to church buildings. So, oh, I believe in God. And then when Jesus Christ is presented to you, you reject the God of the Bible. Oh, I believe in God. You take a poll of Americans, 85% of Americans say they believe in God. Maybe 90 now. I mean, the number's coming lower and lower as time goes on. But everybody says, oh, I believe in God. Then you tell them what the Bible says. Oh, I don't believe in that kind of a God. You know. You ever talk to Jehovah's Witness or somebody? Oh, no, my God would never send anybody to hell. Do you ever tell them this? Tell Jehovah's Witnesses about the story of Joshua destroying everything in Jericho and burning it up with the men, women, and children. I said, the God of the Bible told Joshua to do that. And their answer, well, my God is such a forgiving, loving, merciful God. He would never send anybody to hell. Well, I don't know if God would send anybody to hell, but people are sending themselves to hell because they rejected God himself. And you will be cast into the lake of fire because you rejected Jesus Christ. But it's your choice now. It's your decision now. He says in verse number 47, verse 46, had you believed Moses, that's the writings of Moses, Genesis to Malachi, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Hey, if I can get you to believe this book, you'll believe in Jesus, amen. If I can get you to believe this book, your thinking will be straightened. Your life will be changed. If I can get you to believe this book. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? It's not going to happen. You still believe in a flat earth. You need to get an airplane someday and just ride an airplane for about 6 hours going east or west. That's what you need to do. See the sun come up, see the sun set. Go across the Atlantic Ocean, go across the Pacific Ocean. I mean, if you can't believe the Bible says in Isaiah the earth is a circle. That's what the Bible says. Before there were astronomers, before there were telescopes, before we know anything about longitudinal directions, before we know anything about the axis, we had Isaiah. And the reason why everybody was making fun of Columbus when he was sailing that he was going to fall off the edge of the earth, the flat earthers, was the Pope, by the way, and the Vatican City and the Romish Church were the flat earthers. He said, Columbus, you're going to fall off the earth. You're going to fall off the edge. Well, Columbus believed Isaiah. I think it's chapter 40 where it says the earth is a circle. And he knew enough about the stars. He knew enough about the moon. He knew enough about the constellations. He knew enough about the direction. But he knew enough about the Word of God. And I don't even know if he was saved or not. I'm just saying he knew enough about what God said, and he believed what God said. And you believe some of these perverts in a government school that says, you know, these transvestites are natural, are normal. These perverts, these homosexuals are normal. That's what you're believing, a lie from Satan himself. Your mind is perverted. Your mind is polluted. You've been smoking that crack too much. Yeah, you've been 420ing too much. Yeah. You got too many blunts back home. Yeah. You're too familiar with the eight balls instead of what the Bible says. You know the name and the number by heart of your dealers, and you know the chapters and the Bible names. And then you wonder why your mind's perverted. Then you get mad at the preacher for giving you the truth of the Word of God. This is Troy, New York, right? John chapter number 6. Verse number 29. Actually, 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's what they asked Paul and Silas in jail, in prison there in Acts chapter number 16. What must I do to be saved? You know what Paul said, don't you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Amen. He didn't say go to church. What must I, that's a natural question of a natural man, unsaved man. What must I do? You got to think, you think you have to do something to go to heaven. No, you're already on your way to hell. There's nothing you can do to go to heaven. All you have to do is receive Jesus, amen? Because church ain't going to save you, and baptism ain't going to save you, and the rosary ain't going to save you, and the Pope, the Antichrist, ain't going to save you. Look what he said. This is Jesus' answer, what he must do. Verse number 29, Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that ye what? Believe on him whom he has sent. See, God did all the work, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said it is finished. The work on Calvary, the work on the cross is done, it's finished, and there's nothing you can do except receive him, except believe him. When you hear these religious hypocritical liars behind pulpits say, well, you got to do this, you got to do A, you got to do B, you got to do C, you got to do 1, 2, or 3, you're not really saved. Ask them. Go up to them. If you don't interrupt them, go up to them after the sermon. The Bible says, can you show me where in the Bible it says I'm not really saved if I don't do what you say? Ask them the question. This is the work of God. Jesus finished the work on the cross. Amen. Not you. Amen. That you believe on him whom he has sent. The bottom line is, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have more power available than you think you do. You just don't believe it. That's why Paul writes in Romans, reckon your mind. You ought to align your mind up with the Word of God. Reckon it. Straighten your mind up from that perverted thinking that you've been thinking for the last 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the word of God. Please bless now the morning service to follow. Lord, give us safety on the roads. Thank you for the weather. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take about maybe 5 minutes. Come right back. 5 minutes.